After just going? Right, yeah, I'll kick things off.
Yes, please.
I'm actually going to record a new intro that we're going to put in every episode. I'll do that now. I've written it.
3, 2, 1, action. Nice.
I'm just letting you know.
Is that how it starts?
Yeah. Welcome to Voice Notes from the Lab, a brand new photography podcast from the very same people that develop your film at Jack's Lab. Hosted by me, Jack.
Hi, I'm Rosie.
And me, the other Jack.
This podcast is a chance for us to chat to each other, and in future episodes, as an excuse to chat to interesting people within the world of photography. We founded Jack's Lab on the principles of inclusivity, regardless of experience or ability, and we plan to treat the podcast in the same way. Without further ado, let's crack on with the podcast episode, shall we? So, first of all, massive thank you to everyone who listened to episode 1. Overwhelmed with how many people listened to that first episode gave us all some pretty positive feedback, which was great. The only negative feedback, I think, was from our friend Constantine about the quality of the audio. But he'll be very happy to know we've improved that for episode 2 just for him with some actual microphones and some professional equipment. So there you go, mate. Hope you can hear us well. this week, we are going to be talking about a bit of a contentious one, film versus digital, and that's not to say that's how we feel about it, but that's what we'll talk about in this episode, how we all feel about film and about digital and their coexistence, I suppose. Is that fair to say?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
So I suppose, yeah, the first question with regards to film versus digital is, why even bother to make the comparison? Is there even a comparison? Jack, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, I think there's a comparison, but I also equally feel like there is a comparison because it's photography. It's I mean, different media, I suppose, but yeah. But also, you know, I think, well, firstly, I think it's interesting that we've approached it, but the question is often approached as film versus digital, because I think there's, you know, they absolutely, of course, exist together and very much can complement sort of one another. And yeah, I've lost my train of thought, but, you know,
I think
I died.
I think one of the reasons we thought it would be an interesting subject for the podcast. Well, I think in my head, at least, I think we thought if in the first few episodes we can hit some of the sort of biggest questions in photography, things that we hear a lot of at the lab. You know, we hear a lot of people talking about, I switched from digital to film and for these reasons, and this is how I feel about it. Or, you know, people who like us shoot both happily for different reasons and for different applications. So I think that's why we were asking the question to ourselves. And so for me personally, it's kind of moot. It's not really a comparison. For me, it's about how each one is relevant and appropriate for a specific application. And I think we probably all feel the same way about that. I think looking back at our own origin stories with how we got into photography, if you go back to what we were talking about in episode 1 and how we all got into photography, you know, digital has been a quite a massive part of that. So there is a comparison there. And, you know, there's also a conversation about cameras like the Fujis and the Ricohs, where you have these film simulation recipes that are incredibly popular. They've been popular for a long time, but they've been, you know, particularly popular in the last few years since the Fujis have gone kind of viral on TikTok and whatnot, and all the prices of the Fujis have gone up. But equally the cost of film increasing and the cost of developing your film and that being affordable for people, that's certainly you know, been a talking point for people. And I know people perhaps being a bit more selective as to what they shoot with film and then shooting other stuff with digital, or like myself, still works as a commercial photographer. You know, the application for digital is, that's my commercial work. Clients, for the most part, don't always feel necessarily entirely comfortable in spending their marketing budget on shooting an entire campaign on film, because A, there's probably a bit of a lack of understanding from their point of view in terms of quality, but also risk and also control. They can't see what you're shooting. They can't see results and stuff. So
I think risk is the biggest bit of that, because we've had it like twice where photographers have come in with work and it's gone through CT scanners and we can see the wave going directly through that neg. So like assurance that you've got paid work is definitely there when you've got digital.
Yeah, I think we have had some unfortunate circumstances where we've had professional photographers, doing work abroad and bringing film back in, and then not necessarily always knowing, or you know, with security these days, not always necessarily being able to get their film hand checked.
Yeah, and being convinced it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly, and that's been, you know, it's always unfortunate to see that, but it does happen. And that's, yeah, you have to understand from a company's perspective that they don't want to take that financial risk, and you know, risk with time and stuff as well. But I think in terms of our own, how we all got into photography, digital's been massively, it's been integral, right, for both of you?
It's been integral, but I've only enjoyed it recently.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It was only when I got my X-T1 that I actually liked shooting digitally. I never liked it on any of my Nikons.
Okay.
I only really
sorry, Nikon.
Yeah. Well, I know I love Nikon. I struggle with digital applications of things, like online digital editing is not my favorite.
Yeah.
Or you know, tech in general, it's not my favorite thing to engage with. I got Nikons because all of my lenses were transferable, and like I was kind of sold on it by like previous tutors and stuff, and then I just got my Fuji X-T1 and found it so simple, and everything was, I don't know, just something changed with the shooting it. And now with my X-Pro2, like I've fully gone into doing film recipes and all of that, and I use it in a much similar way to shooting film.
So I guess the question is, why? Because you shoot film,
yeah,
and you work in a lab, so you know the processing costs and film costs are probably not to rub salt in the wound of others, but are probably a little less than what others might be paying. Why shoot digital at all?
Because you persuaded us to buy a Fuji.
Because we joined a silly little internal...
No, we both persuaded you to buy a Fuji.
Well, yeah.
I already had one before working here.
Yeah, that's true.
Why?
Why? Yeah. I mean, I'll answer my own question. Why do I shoot digital? I love using the Fujis. The Fujis have been a massive part of using digital. I use a Fuji GFX for my professional work, which is thoroughly enjoyable to use. And to be honest, going back to your point, Rosie, the biggest part of photography that I find, I wouldn't say I hate it, it really depends on what I've been taking photos of, but that I find a chore is the post-production, it's the editing. Yeah. Because I spend so much time I spend so much time going through stuff, editing it, and I think I've got to a good point, and then I come back to it the next day and I don't like what I've done to it, and I just, it's a rabbit hole of despair. And you know, we use presets and film simulations and stuff like that to kind of try and give ourselves a bit of a base to work from. But yeah, still, it's getting that kind of initial look that I'm just never really quite satisfied with. And even if I am satisfied with it, I'll go back to images that I've delivered to clients 6 months, a year ago, and I'll go, oh, I'd edit those a bit differently now. I'd do this and I'd do that. And I think that's just a creative's problem anyway, right?
Like, 100%. Yeah.
With you, Jack, like shooting digital, is post-production the biggest issue for you?
I hate it. I do. And I think this is sort of listening to what you guys have said about maybe why you shoot film more and digital less. I suppose it's very similar. Like, you know, realistically, film-wise, everything I shoot or the majority of stuff I shoot is personal work or you know, a hobby. Mm. And so for me to enjoy that hobby, the idea of shooting film is actually I sort of shoot my film, get it developed, scan it, and I don't really play around with it too much. Mm. Not that you should or shouldn't, but I don't. And that's sort of there, that the enjoyment is in taking the pictures. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to sort of like having a digital camera, it's different now because, as we said, I've got a Fuji, and there's a reason I enjoy using that Fuji so much, and it's because I stick a film preset on and I treat it like film and I don't really do much editing to it. Mm. Whereas as a hobby, shooting a digital, maybe before I had a Fuji, when I had my Canon 6D, for example, that for me was, like you said, it's the editing, it's a chore. Mm. And so it took the hobby side of things away. And interestingly, you know, I don't enjoy editing anyway, but when I've done a job and I'm getting paid to edit, it's not so bad. Yeah. But it's because it's a job, you know, you sit there and you edit and you sort of think, oh, I could do it like this, I could do it like that. And there's a lot to think about, but also you have direction. Mm. You know, if I've shot a wedding, and you know, I have a feel for what that client wants, then you can, it's easier to edit.
Yeah.
Because yes, it's your work, but you've also got a bit of direction. Whereas when I look into that, the hobby side of things, it's if I've shot digital, but it's, you know, quite a raw image, and I haven't used a preset at all, then I'm sitting there and it's sort of, because then that's personal work. Mm-hmm. It takes me a lot longer to edit. I don't enjoy it as much. I quite struggle with that sort of, I find it quite tedious. And it just uses way more brain power than I want it to. Yeah. It's a hobby, you know,
and time, right?
Yeah. And it's, yeah, you know, I just, not that I think I need something that's super speedy, but I guess one thing I love, last time we took our Fujis out, mm-hmm. was that I chose a film preset that I liked. I shot some really nice images and then I hooked it up to my phone and posted them online.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I don't think that is the main aim here, but it was nice for me to have what I was happy enough to be a finished product out there by the end of the shoot. And I think it didn't take loads of time. I think that's for me. Yeah. I hate the editing, but that's why I enjoy the Fuji so much, and why maybe that's similar to sort of why you asked Rosie, why she's maybe shooting more digital now.
Yeah.
And yourself, there might be a cost aspect to it in terms of film, but also it's fun.
But then also, like, as someone who doesn't work in a film lab, shooting your digital like alongside your film could be like reassurance. Like if you mimic your ISOs and your settings, and so you've got a similar lens, you can roughly trace and paper a shot for yourself. Like be assured that if you've got it on your digital, then it's more than likely it'll come out on your film.
I think that's a great point. I think that's, yeah, and again, I think, I can't remember which one of you it was, both of you really, but probably, but in the first episode, you talked about how integral shooting digital was as a learning tool, about learning about the basics of photography and you know, the Venn diagram of, you know, aperture and shutter speed and ISO and them all affecting one another. You can play with that with film and you can experiment, but it's much more time consuming and it's much more costly, especially now. Whereas on digital, you can play with those things and you can see immediately how those things affect one another, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost, you know, for a complete photography novice, There's a usefulness there in digital photography in terms of getting to know the basics. But equally, I think, you know, I guess I would say this, but truthfully, from my point of view, film photography is different. And I think there's also you know, we touched on this as well in the first episode, such a major part of why we enjoy using film and making photos on film is the actual process itself. Not the development process necessarily, but just the whole how methodical it all is, and actually just your kind of digital removes you a little bit because you get that instant result and you don't really need to think much more about it afterwards. Whereas, you know, film, you're especially when you're first getting started, maybe you've got a camera that shoots on aperture priority, and it means you can, you know, that's a pretty good way. I think, you know, we get a lot of people in here who say, I'm just, this is my first roll of film. You know, we get a lot of people in here, right? Mm. Who say, this is my first roll. I'm nervous as to how it's going to come out, or I'm excited about how it's going to come out. Maybe that, and they're, you know, shooting on a point and shoot, and I'm thinking, if it comes out well, I want to upgrade maybe to like an SLR or something with a few more manual settings so that they can learn a bit more about photography and using manual settings and stuff like that. I would recommend kind of moving to a camera that's maybe got like an aperture priority setting so that they can kind of focus on one thing at a time and see how, you know, let the camera do a bit of the work, and you then maybe have a play with how aperture affects certain things and you get to know those things. So yeah, whilst I think digital is a really good tool for learning, I also think if you enjoy the fun, if you enjoy the learning aspect of it, maybe digital takes that enjoyment out of the learning a little bit. I don't know, maybe it doesn't.
I think it's just useful from, I think the digital, like, I agree with you, but I think the digital side of it, as you've mentioned, is just maybe useful from a money aspect. You know, it's okay, yeah, granted, it's, you know, it's instant gratification. It, you know, you can sort of shoot something and it's there, and actually it might take the fun away because it's such a quick process. But, you know, if you really are learning, but you want to learn, it's not just that, oh, I want to shoot on film and I've got a point and shoot, or I've got this, you know, I use my camera in complete sort of like auto mode, which is not a problem. Then if that's because you like the film look, that's fine. But if you actually do want to learn sort of the fundamentals of photography, you know, you're spending a lot of money on film. Mm-hmm. You're spending a lot of money on rolls of film and developing film to get back results that might knock you back a bit. And that's not a problem. We all need to learn somewhere. But then, you know, it's just you're realizing how much money you're spending on this thing. And it can be quite off-putting. More so now than ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think when film was cheaper and cheap and... Yeah, I was lucky to, special shout out to AgvaVista, £1 from the pound shop.
R.I.P.
But, you know, I was lucky that when I actually really started getting into film, that was just there. I used to go in and buy like a brick of it. Mm. You know, you just won't get that anymore. And obviously the processing still costs, you know, a good amount of money. But I was able to work on like my film photography and play more because, like you said, it kind of is different to digital. It is different. It gives you different results and, you know, can sometimes behave differently. I know the fundamentals are the same, but, you know, not everyone's that lucky. And especially if you want to pick up film photography now or just photography now in general and think, oh, I've got a particular interest in film, you know, it's going to cost you £20-25 a roll, all in all, from start to finish, to
but then
hope you've got it right.
I think it's also for that reason that people shoot it much more considered.
Yeah.
Like, because you can do the math that, this roll will cost you 80p per shot or whatever it is you're going in for, that you shoot with a lot less speed and... Yeah, you just thoroughly go through things. You maybe won't be as snap happy on like one subject or, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
one and done.
Completely agree with you. I mean, you know, if there's one thing that film photography has taught me in general, it's to just take less pictures, and not in a bad way. I still take a lot of pictures, but it slows you down. It makes you think more, and it's a good approach. Yeah, it's a good way to think about it, and it's actually to take your time with it and actually make sure you're getting it right, as opposed to going,
well, this hasn't worked, let me try something else. It's actually, maybe you'd research and actually work out what you're doing wrong to make sure you're getting it right. And so therefore, yeah, you're being more precise with it, which is maybe more what you want.
Yeah. I think it's film, for me, I would recommend everyone, obviously I would, running a lab, but
shock.
I would recommend anyone who is into photography to shoot on film, to at least try it, because I think, yeah, it is an old cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason. You know, shooting on film, it does slow you down, and you do have to consider what you're taking a photo of more so than you would on digital, because there is a cost element to it and a time element, and the likelihood is on your digital camera you're going to take as many shots as you need to take to get the image that you desire in your head, right? On film, you're taking a picture once, maybe twice, I'm talking less so professionally shooting on film, you might take it a few times. Maybe if you're testing a roll, you might bracket a shot. Bracketing, for anyone that doesn't know what that means, is kind of just a basic term for shooting across a range of settings, so that you can kind of get an idea of what looks right, if that makes sense. So, you know, you could bracket a shot with your aperture, so you could take the same photo at f4, 5, 6, 8 and 11, and you bracketed four photos across your aperture, and then, you know, you've got kind of four things to look at there. And, you know, it's a bit of a, I know with landscape photographers in particular, and also studio photographers back in the day, it was a bit of a safety thing. Well, it's probably less so studio photographers because they're able to meter everything fairly accurately, but landscape photographers, you know, it's not as easy necessarily to always meter for the correct thing, because you've got, you know, a gradient of different tones in the sky and on the ground and everything, you know. So you might bracket a shot either with aperture, or you might bracket across a variety of different shutter speeds in order to kind of ensure from a security point of view that you've got the shot with any luck. If you shoot four different increments, then hopefully one of them is all right. So yeah, obviously you can do that from a film photography point of view, but the chances are, for the most part, you're taking one, maybe two shots of the same thing on a roll of, you know, 35mm on 120. If you're taking more than one shot of the same thing, it's probably even more unlikely. And you know, maybe you're feeling that luxury if you're shooting on 6x4 4x5. But you know, yeah, we're being much more considered when we're shooting on film. We're thinking about that shot, we're thinking about its composition, we're thinking about what we're metering for, because the cameras ask us to. We need to think about what settings we're inputting, for the most part, unless we're on a point and shoot, which is doing it all for us. But I guess because those cameras are requiring that from us, and we don't have that instant gratification that a digital camera provides, much more consideration goes into it, and arguably a much better photo comes out the back of it. Maybe. Interesting to see kind of what that consideration does, sort of how that proves to benefit you in the long run. I think in the long run, yeah, anything that kind of slows you down and makes you think about your craft a bit more is a good thing.
Yes,
I think so.
I'd agree.
Yes. Elaborate. No, yes. Yeah, I agree. It's true, right? It's an old cliche that, yeah, shooting on film slows you down. But it does, and that has to be a good thing. I shoot much less digitally now in terms of photos at a time than I ever used to.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I've done shoots in the past, you know, I've shot like a friend's wedding where I've shot like 2,500 photos.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, right.
So long. Like,
and gave them 50.
Yeah. I'm not even sure there was that many good ones, to be honest, but... yeah, just that's disgusting, isn't it? Like, who wants to sit down and go through 2,500 photos?
Yeah.
Easily done, though. I mean, that's long, but easily done. So, I mean, I used to shoot gigs and do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And be like, wow, I'm just going to get this.
Because there are moments there that are unrepeatable, and you don't want to miss them.
Yeah. But you get that confidence from shooting film that, I mean, yeah, you might still do that, especially with 35mm. Maybe if you feel like you're going to miss a moment, a particular moment, as opposed to you getting maybe your settings wrong, it might be that you're missing a moment. But in general, you sort of, I think shooting film and making sure you're maybe getting that right moment, I think just helps you, like you said, digitally, but to think more ahead and go, okay, cool, this is happening, I want to capture this. Or, yeah. And yeah, I think it's... it definitely does help you sort of just, I mean, yeah, you, yeah, slowing down, it just helps you big time, I think, just get the right thing, the thing that you're actually aiming to capture, as opposed to capturing it 3 or 4 times and hoping for the best. It makes you more aware of what you're looking at, from a composition point of view as well, not just a settings point of view.
Yeah. So I guess what we're saying is that it should never be film versus digital. Not really. You can pit them against each other for certain projects. I know I still do, you know, on a case-by-case basis, whether I'm going out with Esther and the kids, or that's my wife. If I'm,
my wife.
you know, if I'm going out for a nice walk, or take the dog out, or if I'm, you know, we're on a... I was going to say a holiday, but not been on one of them for a while. But, you know, just going out with them, I do... It is a constant question I'm asking myself. Do I take my little Fuji out, or do I take a point-and-shoot film, or do I take my Nikon out and shoot some film on there? I mean, to be honest, mine always comes down to logistics. How many spare hands am I likely to have? If I've got one kid and a dog, the answer is no spare hands, and I probably need my point and shoot in my pocket so I can just pull it out and, you know, snap, snap, snap. But if I'm likely to have a spare hand, maybe I'll take a manual focus.
Maybe
I'll
take the 4.5 out, why not? But that's interesting, because let's ignore the whole point of this episode, film versus digital, for a second.
Sure.
That could also just be down to... You know, you've just mentioned, oh, maybe I'll just take my 4.5 out because it's my 4.5.
You did.
4.5 head.
Yeah, you mentioned the 4.5.
Brilliant.
Not taking that out with the kids.
No, you said maybe you would take, you know, if you've got the kids and the dog and you sort of, maybe you'll just take your point and shoot out. But is that from a film point of view, or actually is that just, let's ignore film versus digital and just look at your plethora of cameras? you know, is it actually just the camera? And well, yeah, kind of, but not. But, you know, for me, sometimes, do I look at my cameras and go, do I want to shoot digital today? Mm. Or do I just look at my Fuji as being one of my cameras? You know, just a camera, you know, a bit like sometimes I'll choose a film stock based on its ISO and the outside sort of. But sometimes, especially in maybe better lighting, but sometimes I just, it's because I fancy shooting that film stock rather than because I kind of have to shoot that film stock. And I think that's, for me, it's sometimes, not always, but sometimes the same with my cameras. You know, why do I specifically, with film cameras, why do I specifically choose to shoot my Nikon F4 over my Canon T90? It's actually just because I feel like it. It's not because I think, well, yeah, you say that, but that's a load of rubbish because T90s are the best cameras in the world.
They might have the best logo in the world.
They do, to be fair, and they're cool. But, you know, I literally just choose it not because I go, oh, but it's because the F4 is better for this job. 90% of the time it's because I'm like, oh, I just want to shoot my F4 today. And I, for me, a lot of the time, just do that with my... Fuji as well. It's kind of like I just quite fancy taking this one out today. It's maybe sometimes for me less about choosing the film side, or the, you know, a bit like with your point and shoot, you might take it out because actually it's just the easiest camera that you can still capture an image regardless of what format it is or what medium. It's actually just going, it's the most portable, usable camera I've got with one hand. And so it's not always about I don't know, it's not always about that. I think it's important to remember that cameras are cameras.
So it's also about the tool.
It's also about the tool, yeah, including yourself.
So I think that's a perfectly good point. I'm now thinking, like, do I think that much when I I'm thinking about where am I going. You know, for the most part, if I'm going out with the family, then in my mind, you know, I know I'm not going to get much of a chance to take pictures of the sort of things I would take pictures of if I was out with you guys or out on my own or whatever. But I know that I'm taking pictures of my kids and my family, and I'm documenting memories that that hopefully will that, you know, the kids can look at when they're older. And actually, I think that plays quite a big part in it, because you know, I don't want them having to trawl through outdated technology, shitty, you know, 30, 40 year old hard drives that have probably just corrupted and actually there's nothing on them anyway, trawling through folders and folders of digital images of crap that I've not got around to editing. Because I think that's like, what kids are going to do that, you know? I don't think, I mean, yeah, I've got two hard drives from my parents that, you know, probably have photos and stuff on it. You know, my dad shot digital for a bit. I've not looked at them, but what I have looked at is, as we spoke about in the first episode, I've looked through the chest of negatives and I've looked through photos, because it's a fun, tangible thing to do with your family. And that's what I want my kids to do, you know, when I'm old and decrepit and in a home and, you know, absolutely off my rocker.
Could bring you a little photo book around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, I don't know who the fuck you are. Get out of my room.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, but Dad, we just wanted to show some pictures of you when you were younger.
I've still got my Facebook login. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Listen, here's your podcast that you were on. Do you remember? You used to own the film.
What is that? What's a podcast?
Back, you know, to your point, though.
That's a big part of my decision. Where am I going? You know, are these going to be important enough? Do I think I'm going to be in a space whereby I want to create some like family memories? If we're just whizzing the dog around the block because he needs a wee, I'm probably not going to shoot that on film. Well, not him in particular, because that's an invasion of dog's privacy. But I'm unlikely to capture those sorts of like family memories. But if we're going out to, I don't know, Abbott's Pool, you know, a nice woodland walk or wherever, in Bristol or further afield, then yeah, maybe I'll shoot that on film. Because it looks better.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But then, you know, sometimes you go, oh, but I do have my X100V with film presets that I love using. And you still get that same sort of...
Here's a question, though. Have you ever been completely and utterly satisfied, and this is including with your Fujis, have you ever been completely and utterly satisfied with the digital result that you've thought, I'm glad I didn't shoot that on film?
Never like that.
Right.
I've definitely had some, like, yeah, some shots I've took and gone, yeah, I'm well happy with those, that's great. I've never thought, you know, I'm glad I didn't shoot that on film, because that's crazy. Are you crazy? What do you mean?
No, I mean, I think there's been times where I've taken digital out, and even when I've been there, I've thought, oh, bollocks, like, I wish I'd have bought even just my point and shoot, my T4, you know, with whatever in. I think it would do it more justice. I think, yeah, I don't know.
Your T4.
But, you know, it's a point and shoot. It's again, you know, if I'm worried about logistics and whether I've got a spare hand or not to manually focus my photos and, you know, to get the kids in focus or whatever, point and shoot's going to achieve that. But if I'm shooting it on film, there's definitely been points where I've gone, oh, we should have brought the film camera with me. But equally, every time I take the Fuji out, I come back. Rarely do I get back and am I like, oh, I'm not really that happy with what I've shot. But a lot of the times, I must say, even shooting on the Fuji, I'll be excited to look at stuff. But for the most part, I may transfer a couple over. Maybe I post them up on Instagram. Maybe they sit in my camera roll for months until I remember them and I notice them later down the line. Sometimes they just sit on my SD card on my camera for months until the next time, you know, I use the camera and I see them there. So
that's my biggest thing is that don't think I revisit them. I mean, you can make that argument for the film ones, but like I think I spend more time because you develop them and then you scan them. I think I spend more time looking at it after I've done it than my digital. I think digital, I'll shoot it, maybe look at it on the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went out the other week and shot our digitals. I've not looked at them since.
Yeah.
I turned my camera off. We came back to work and I've not turned it back on since.
Yeah.
To have a look.
That's interesting because, yeah, I feel like we both, I think it took me a couple of days, but I feel like the same day you looked through yours and went through yours and, you know, shared a few with us.
Get too excited.
Yeah.
But I suppose that's just, we're all different in that sense. You know, we might get some, our scans through.
Yeah.
Or scan our film ourselves and put it into our sort of our cloud storage and ignore it and then go, oh, yeah, wait, hang on a minute. You know, I get excited about that sort of stuff. That's just my personality. So I would, you know, even with my scans, I'd scan them on the computer, but then I'd want to see them on my phone anyway. So it's quite like, for me, it's quite, I'm just impatient.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, that might not be the case for like you, Rosie, for example. You might not want to, or you might not think, oh, I've got to look at those right now.
Yeah.
But you will still always revisit them at some point.
Maybe.
Or maybe not. But
I think the other interesting perspective as well, which, you know, I know you've done a bit of recently, Jack, and I know it's something you've done a fair bit of, Rosie, and I haven't done any since I was about 16. And I know our good friend Tim at Negative Thinking will be, I was going to say rolling in his grave, but he's very alive. Sorry, Tim.
Guy has one skeleton.
It's probably, his ears are burning, we're talking about him, but, you know, from a darkroom printing point of view, well, obviously, it's a hell of a lot more difficult to do that from a digital image. Possible, in ways, but, you know, there's that aspect of things that is considered as well. Is that something you consider if you're going out and shooting something and you're thinking, I'm going to get this on film because I want to have the negative because I want to print it in the darkroom?
In some ways, I think that's more like project based. Like if I know it's going somewhere, just because now I don't use a darkroom anywhere near as much as I have done. I don't think I necessarily do now.
Yeah. So it's more of just a, if you do decide to go and print, you'll just print from what you've got.
Yeah, like a selection, like I'll go through it like a day before or something and see what I've got and see what.
Yeah.
I'll enjoy printing.
That's fair.
I guess if it's been shot well or if there's one I like or, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it depends on also maybe how much you print. So, you know, Rosie sort of said not anymore because she doesn't print as much. But if she's got into printing more, she might shoot thinking of printing. You know, I want to print more this year. So, I mean, a lot more. So I want to maybe do exactly that. I want to go and shoot to go, cool, I'm going to print these. Or ideally, there'll be some of these that I want to print. Whereas for the time being, because I'm relatively, I mean, I am new to it and sort of only have printed in the darkroom a few times. What I normally do is actually scan my film and go, oh yeah, I want to print that. Yeah. That's the one I want to print. Yeah. You know, so my mentality personally is actually the other way at the minute. It's more just I shoot, that looks cool, I want to print it. But actually the more I print and the more that might become my sort of maybe the thing that I want to focus on, then maybe then the more I'll go, I'm shooting to print now. That's, you know, and that'll be a consideration. And I think not necessarily for everyone like that, but if you don't print that much, it'd be interesting to know if that's your mindset.
Whereas actually, if you're printing all the time, then you should most definitely be thinking about shooting to print.
I feel like it's all circumstantial, isn't it? And I think it depends on your mood and what you're doing at the time and where you're going. And ultimately, it just comes down to a feeling at that point in time as to whether you're going to pick up a digital or whether you're going to pick up film, film camera. A lot of the times, and we'll base it very much on that case by case basis. I think very rarely do I ever sort of get into a thing of I'm just really, really into shooting my digital at the moment. I think I'll always feel like that about film because I love film so much, like we all do, I think.
Yeah. But
I think to conclude, there's 100% a place for both. They're different. You can achieve similar results in terms of, the final result, I suppose. We haven't even really touched upon the actual kind of, we touched upon it a little bit, but the actual post-production of film, digital film scans, because I think that's, we spoke about it a little bit. That's much less of a chore for me and all of us, I think. Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah. Some people, particularly the way we scan at the lab is we aim to give something sort of fairly fairly neutral to the customer, so that ultimately that the subjective creative decisions they're not for us to make. We've not taken the photo. We're merely developing the film, and we're converting that developed negative to a positive digital image, and we'll give that customer as much as we possibly can from the negative, into a JPEG or a TIFF, so that they can then turn that into whatever they want. If it happens to be pretty close to what they want anyway, or bang on what they want anyway, great. But there's also enough there for them to adjust it to their preferences. I know even me, when I'm scanning my own film here, I know that I'll scan it to a certain point, but I know that I'll still go home and I'll probably tweak the contrast a little bit. I might adjust the highlights or the the shadows a little bit. But for me, editing colour film, digital colour film, what am I saying? Editing digital colour photos is a ball ache. And I don't enjoy it.
Yes.
Yeah, right? taking photos on colour film or black and white film, there's less for me to do. And I'm able to realise my own creative vision of a photo, I find, much easier through film. And I think that's probably why the majority of us shoot on film, because there's a base there, and then we can work with that. And which is why, I guess, this is probably something we'll get to in a future episode. It's why we also select certain film stocks, because that's how we want that. We go out, I'm going to choose this film stock because I want my photos to look a certain way. So, yeah, I've said in conclusion probably two or three times already, but yeah.
You can cut that out if you want.
Yeah, I'll cut it out. In conclusion, 100% there's space for both film and digital. They've both got their uses. For me, film is always going to be more fun. I'll always enjoy shooting on film more than I enjoy shooting on digital, but digital has a practical application and is useful and can also be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'd say so.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad we've cleared that one up.
Yeah.
what do you guys think, audience? What are your thoughts on shooting on film and shooting on digital? Let us know. You can drop us an email to voicenotespodcast@jackslab.co. Let us know what you think about that. Do you shoot on film as well as digital, or just film? Do you hate digital cameras? If so, why? We'd love to hear your thoughts, and perhaps we can touch on a few of those in the next episode. Moving on, we've got a few bits of news. It's not breaking news, but you know, news that
breaking news,
breaking news. That it might be interesting on this episode for us to touch upon. We've had Mint, the company Mint, announce that they are releasing a new 35mm camera branded the Rolly AF. It's being produced by Mint. For those who don't know, Mint's background is very much in the instant film realm, kind of developing new technology to sit and work alongside old Polaroid cameras to try and prolong their life, essentially. They are working to produce this new camera, and I think using Rolly's branding, essentially their license, the use of the Rolly name. But obviously the Rolly 35 AF is a pretty cult classic camera. Did you see you had one of those, Rosie?
Yeah.
Do you still have one?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay.
Jealous.
Somewhere.
Sure. Yeah. In your box of cameras somewhere. They're the ones with the winder on the bottom, aren't they?
Yeah,
the 35 AFs. Yeah, I think they're quite a cult classic, aren't they?
I think so, yeah, and the pop-out lenses.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what Mint do with that.
Hopefully the same.
Hopefully the same.
The winder needs to be on the bottom because that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I think from what I've seen of the shell, visually they look quite similar.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's slightly more modern, but from what I've seen, it looks very much based on on looking exactly the same.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Camera based on some nostalgia.
Yeah.
Bit of new technology, bit of nostalgia in the mix.
I'll say you might.
Bob's your uncle, we all own one.
Who's your uncle?
Dave.
Cool. alongside the Mint, or the Rolly AF by Mint, we've also got Pentax and Ricoh partnering up. I'm not entirely certain of the actual details of the relationship and whether it's mostly Pentax with a bit of Ricoh or the other way around.
Like it's the other way around. Sorry, Pentax.
Yeah, I think it probably is. I think I think they're operating more heavily at the moment.
I feel like it's the Ricoh sort of driving with Pentax assisting and sort of, I felt because Ricoh still Pentax still producing cameras at all? I was about to say Ricoh or Pentax aren't, but actually that's
I don't know.
But you know, I think from I've been trying to sort of read and have a look, and it from what I could see, it was a bit of like a Ricoh's bring a new camera out.
Yeah,
surprise, it's a Pentax. Sort of like that partnering came later, which maybe assumed it was more of a Ricoh thing, but
it's not in the same way that Mint are licensing the Rolly name.
No, they're definitely working together. Yeah, it's a genuine partnership, but yeah.
So I think from what's been announced so far, we've had an announcement in the last couple of weeks. The camera, it's going to be a half frame camera. Which probably makes sense, I suppose, in this day and age. Producing something initially that they say is going to start. This camera is going to start their film camera project lineup with a camera that's going to be easy to use, affordable, and appeal to the younger generation of film photographers. So I think half frames become probably particularly popular more recently with, the cost of film going up and all of that sort of stuff. And there are some good older half frame cameras out there. So I'm not, I'm going to be totally honest with everyone. I am a half frame cynic.
As you don't like half frame and it's going to be a new camera, do you think it needs to be half frame?
Do I think it needs to be half frame?
It's justified from theirs that the film, of course, isn't going to waver anytime soon. Like, there aren't many manufacturers of it. It is just kind of this. You'll use half the frame size, but you'll get double the photos.
Yeah.
But then I think some people's reluctance into getting into film is that you're having to use things with already a starting age point of 34 years.
Yeah.
So and then you're taking a risk there with it breaking, and then potentially costing more or having to buy like another one or the same one, but again, so with it being new, aren't you already taking out some of that risk factor?
Yeah, you are. I guess you are. Yeah. For me, I'm slowly coming round to to half frame, to be honest.
I see he's one guy's prince.
Yeah, I mean, I guess shout out Pietro, friend of the labs. We've seen recently some of his prints, darkroom prints and lift prints, particularly from his is it an Olympus pen Olympus pen F, that look, you know, pretty spectacular, don't they? You would never guess that they're from a substandard camera. I'm just kidding.
Well, it's because the grain, isn't it? It's obviously it's smaller photo, smaller image on the negative, so therefore when you enlarge it, you're getting larger grain, and that particularly works well with lith printing.
Yeah.
Which is why it looks so good. You know, from a lab owner's point of view, I completely understand though where maybe your not skepticism but hatred for
it's not hatred.
Yeah, right.
It's not hatred.
Okay, cool.
No, not at all.
Well, anyway, your dislike initially towards the
cynicism.
Yeah, why not? Okay. Yeah. Big word for me, which is probably why I didn't use that, but we'll go with it. I think that, you know, sometimes, not always, but when you scan these and you sort of see them digitally, the sort of half frames, it's not always, they can still look amazing, but, you know, I think sometimes scanning that as opposed to printing, you see the scans and they don't look that great. They come across as lower quality, not necessarily because they are a little bit, I suppose, but the grain is so pronounced, depending on what film stock you use, that actually it doesn't often look great. But, you know, I do think there's, regardless of that, there's definitely a place for half frame. And I think that it's a really nice starting point for...
But I think with a lot of them, there aren't that many manual controls in, which is why a lot of the time they're... I mean, more often than not, they're underexposed.
Yes. Yeah.
But like with the Olympus Pen S, obviously you've got full control, and hopefully with this you'll have more.
Well, yeah. They say, you know, the camera will feature automatic and manual functions, zone focus, a lens inspired by the well-regarded Pentax SBO and IQ series of point-and-shoot cameras from the 90s and 2000s, and a manual rewind function. So... for me, to be honest, whilst half frame may not necessarily be my cup of tea at the moment, I'm more than willing for my mind to be changed, and I am just incredibly supportive of any new tech in the film and analog industry, because it means that it's growing, it's still going, it's wanting to better itself, and it's wanting to provide more opportunities for the new generation of film photographers, and that's a fantastic thing. And I think it's worth noting that Pentax and Ricoh have also said that this will just be the first in a range of new cameras. This is a compact camera, affordable for young people, followed by a high-end compact, then an SLR camera, and finally a fully mechanical SLR. So, you know, which with that
insane.
Bit of something that's for incredible. Everyone there,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Can't really argue with that, can we?
I mean, whatever the camera is, it's a step in the right direction. And I think it's just nice to see these companies actually sort of produce them, because, you know, we've seen new film cameras in the past few years, but they've always been sort of plastic point and shoots that aren't that great, and
they're
licensed by said brands, but not necessarily made by them. And I think it's nice to finally see these good respected companies coming through and going, we're going to release these cameras. And I think it's really exciting, to be honest. Regardless, I think it's interesting, because the half frame, when they sort of released more spec and said it's going to be half frame, I think just looking at reviews from people and looking at comments and so on, it was a real mix of this is amazing and, well, what the fuck are they doing, why is it another half frame? It was a real mix. But do you know what, like, any camera is
an amazing step in the right direction. And, you know, as I said, especially from companies such as Rico and Pentax, I think it's bloody exciting.
Yeah.
And actually it shows that we're going in the right direction. And that's the most important thing.
100%.
You know, it's the same with Harman Phoenix. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily my particular favorite film at the moment, or maybe either of yours, but it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And it can only be a good thing. It can only be a good thing. So we Absolutely. Should stop moaning about it if we are moaning about it. Cause
I don't think we're moaning about it.
We're not. No. But, you know, we as photographers.
Sure.
I think it's just a lot of negativity based around these things. But actually, it just means more is coming, and that can only be a good thing. And so, you know.
I think any industry that is niche in the way that ours is, there's a wide variety of people, and you will always have people who are open and welcoming to change and new technology and stuff like that. And there are people who, you know, perhaps may class themselves as kind of more purists, who are, you know, just the very idea of shooting film in a modern camera might be, not a nice thought for them. If there's more options out there for people, you know, we're in an industry whereby the technology is old and it is finite. And a lot of these cameras, obviously the mechanical cameras, are the ones that will, for the most part, last the longest. But, you know, there's a lot of electronic cameras, they won't last. They will die. And, a lot of them, you know, going for a lot of money as well. a lot of contacts is being sold for a lot of money, and once the electrics go on them, then, you know, that's a pricey ornament you've got on your shelf. I'm sure, you know, yeah, you have a lot of fun with them, and they're great lenses, and they make some absolutely brilliant images, but eventually, they won't last. And yeah, there is a finite amount of these old original film cameras, so we do need new cameras to be made. There's only a relatively small amount of people in the country who want to and are able to repair these things as well. So I think new technology is brilliant, and then ultimately it's up to you, isn't it? Do you want to shoot? It's up to you whether you want to shoot with a new camera or whether you want to shoot with an old camera. If the options are there, that's a win-win for everyone, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If the people who want to shoot the older film cameras want to shoot the older film cameras and not the new technology, then they can do that, and there'll probably be more left for them, because the people who want to shoot the more modern cameras will go and do that.
Win-win
yes. All round.
Yep.
So that probably sums up our news for this episode. I can't promise we'll have a news segment in every episode, but
that'd be nice.
Those little treats, I felt like it was worth delving into, considering we were talking about, you know, film and digital and new technology in the industry and whatnot. That probably ends things for this episode. We've got episode 3 we'll be recording soon. That will be coming out 2 weeks after you hear this one. In episode 3, we're going to be talking about our plans, goals and hopes for 2024 from a personal point of view. We're also going to be talking a little bit about shooting in the winter months and how we do it differently as we move into spring. How have we shot differently in the winter months, if at all? And we're also going to be doing our draw for our little film challenge project, where we experiment with pushing film, but more details on that will be revealed in episode 3. And anything anyone else wants to add?
Nah, see you later.
don't forget to share this beautiful podcast with your friends and family. Press play and turn the volume down while you go to sleep. Put it on repeat. That gets us more listens. That's fabulous. Rate it and show us the love, because we enjoy doing it and we want to be able to do it more for you. So, yeah.
Cool. So thanks for listening to episode 3. It's goodbye from me, Jack. Rosie, your turn.
Jack, Rosie, Jack.
I thought you were passing over to the other Jack. That's why I just looked at you. Cheers. See ya.
goodbye from me, the other Jack.
Right, and that's bye from all of us. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
This has been Voice Notes from the Lab, from the folk who develop your film at Jack's Lab. For those who don't know us, we're an independent photographic film processing lab in the heart of Bristol. You can find out more details about the lab, including prices and our processes, at jackslab.co. Thanks again for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a review. It helps massively with reaching a wider audience and getting to know what you like and dislike about it. You can subscribe to the series via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. And don't forget to tell your friends.